Out of the mouths of babies, localization of production, no panacea. America's ongoing shortage of baby formula disproves the thesis that localization offers assured supply, while globalization represents vulnerability, says T.K. Arun, voiced by Abhay. After the pandemic disrupted global supply chains and created shortages in markets far removed from the site of infections, localization and nearshoring became the mantra of management gurus. Opponents of globalization counted their proposition as self-evident. An ongoing severe shortage of baby formula in the U.S. offers a counterpoint. America's Defense Production Act is a law that empowers the U.S. president to order companies to cease production of whatever they have been manufacturing and put their production capacity to churn out what the U.S. government deems a national priority at the moment. President Franklin D. Roosevelt had used his powers under the act to ask, after the outbreak of World War II, General Motors to start producing battle tanks and Ford Motors to produce bomber aircraft. Right now, President Biden has invoked the Defense Production Act to increase the supply of not arms, but of baby formula, a synthetic substitute for breast milk. Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, about 98% of the baby formula sold in the U.S. is made in the U.S. The U.S. might not be entirely Atmanirbhar when it comes to the number of babies born, who would, within 3 decades, grow into highly qualified talent that would power its knowledge economy. But when it comes to baby formula, the country is self-reliant. Further, just 2 companies, Abbott Labs and Reckitt Benckiser, amount for 80% of the market. Pandemic disruptions had created shortages of everything, from toilet rolls to packed meat, on account of which workers at meat packers were labeled essential workers, without any choice on turning out to work, regardless of the risk of contracting COVID. This disruption had reached baby formula as well, but not to any debilitating extent. The crisis came in February, when 4 infants on formula fell ill with a rare bacterial infection, and 2 of them died. The formula had been produced at a factory owned by Abbott in Michigan. It produced not just ordinary formula, but also specialized versions for children with allergies and other conditions that ruled out just any old breast milk substitute. Abbott shut down its plant, and for whatever reason, Abbott and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration took nearly 3 months to finalize the conditions under which the plant could be reopened. The plant is expected to resume production early in June. The plant produced enough to supply 20% of the market. When that was taken out of the market, people began to hoard. The shortage grew to some 40% of the demand. According to the Wall Street Journal, about half the number of stores in half of America's towns experienced shortage of baby formula. So why have other plants not kicked in to make good the shortage caused by the Michigan plant's shutdown? There are exacting regulations by the FDA and standards for baby formula, which companies struggle to meet. When the problem became acute on social media, teeming with frazzled parents, wailing babies and hoarders, as well as Good Samaritans hawking their stocks, the White House could no longer afford to let the market sort out supply and demand. The U.S. government invoked the Defense Production Act, the president's heartfelt commitments to make baby milk flow in the land. It flew in plane loads of formula from Germany on special military aircraft. As the drama plays out with angry mothers, frustrated fathers, smug Republican critics of Biden's incompetence, and presidential pivots from Ukraine and geopolitics to American babies in distress, all cast as major characters, many have failed to notice that the much-touted localization solution to shortage arising from global supply chain disruptions has proved to be a total dud. Localization has actually proved to be a bane in the present context, and relying on global sourcing is the only thing that has offered some respite. Clearly, the anti-globalization rhetoric that gained strength in the wake of the supply chain disruptions during the worst days of the pandemic was devoid of merit. Self-reliance can be a vulnerability if local production takes a hit for whatever reason. That is not all. It is not just where things are produced that counts. The structure of the market also matters. The baby formula market in the US was not just a near duopoly, but also further complicated by state distribution. A substantial part of the baby formula consumed in the US is distributed by government agencies that help the poor. Often, these aid agencies place single-agent contracts to supply an entire state. When that agency failed to procure enough volumes to meet its obligations on account of the shortage, the beneficiary babies of the entire state suffered. It may be recalled that India's distribution of anti-tuberculosis drugs faces a similar problem. The central government procures the drugs and allocates them to the states, which make no provision in their own health budgets for these medicines. TB drugs have to be taken continuously for an extended period of time, for not just the disease to be cured, but also to prevent developing drug-resistant variants of the tuberculosis bacterium. In 2013, India faced a stockout of TB drugs, with many states running out of drugs to let TB patients complete their course of treatment. Officials of the Union Health Ministry, spooked by the Vinod Rai indictment of causing loss to the exchequer on the flimsiest of grounds, in the case of Telecom, chose to retire without renewing the contract for the government to procure TB drugs. The contract lapsed, no orders were placed for these essential drugs, and several states faced stockouts. The lessons are clear. Globalized sourcing is a strength rather than a vulnerability, so long as the sources are reasonably diversified. The domestic market structure must be competitive. Monopolies and duopolies represent vulnerability. Government contracting of supplies must take care of contingencies in which the main winner of the supply contract is unable to make good on his delivery commitment. This insight is straight out of the mouths of crying babies, unfortunately.